to Blank Canvas. I'm Diana Sands.
And I'm Douglas Barkey.
And we are here with a full panel this evening from The Current. So let's get back to you, Christina. Let's find out more about the promotional elements. You know, what is going on in the background fully with 11 Strong?
Can't tell all my secrets. You got to leave some excitement, you know. But one of the things I think that'll get people excited for the year, I feel like Define Tropicality had set the precedent for what to expect for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. But I think a good note is that we will be having Lillian Blades, who will be showcasing for our Volta show in New York, and that is all I'm going to say about that. You will see more information about that in the upcoming weeks on our social media pages, so please follow so that you can be a part of that. But we have another upcoming show, which will be April 28th, with Avria Wright and Ricardo Barrett. And so that is another strong, sculptural, three-dimensional, mixed-media show to look forward to. And we also will have a list of artist talks. So we are partnering with Royan Dean with the Inspired By Talks. And so these talks will be tapping into different topics. I am a professional artist, and we'll be speaking on cryptocurrencies and NFTs. And, you know, our goal here with her is to pretty much just enlighten people on how we can merge topics with art. So in terms of business, and how is that a part of art, in terms of other topics, banking, and how we can combine these conversations with artists. And so that is something to also look forward to. And we will actually have those streaming on our YouTube page. So we have a YouTube page. It's The Current. And so you'd be able to listen and watch those talks once we have them, so that you can also be a part of learning something new and learning something different. And we are also working with Rosewood, and so John Cox, our very lovely director, he's the ambassador of the Placemaker this year. And so he and The Current we're doing multiple things with Rosewood. And one of the things that they're partnering with us is helping us to take these artists to these international shows like Volta in New York and also Scope in Miami. And so with that, we'll also be having some of those talks inside the Rosewood Library as well. So you'll be able to watch that on the YouTube and see, you know, and even maybe be a part of that as well. And so, yeah, that's.
Hey, let me ask you a quick question. What is a placemaker to begin with? I'm not really sure.
Okay, so placemaker is an initiative from the Rosewood brand. So just for clarity, just so everybody knows, I think people know this, but so Bahamar has three brands, big hotels, main hotels, Rosewood, Grand Hyatt, and SLS. The Rosewood is actually owned by our mother company. The company that owns Bahamar Resort also owns the Rosewood brand. And Rosewood is a Hong Kong-based company, and so they have what they call this placemaker program. So there's, I think, seven placemakers, I think, in the world that they think have contributed to the ethos of a particular Rosewood hotel. If I'm not mistaken, I think there's about 50 Rosewoods globally.
But what does that mean, placemaker? I mean, is it like a criteria for creating an environment?
So the mantra for Rosewood brand is sense of place. So all of their hotels are very different. You know, like sometimes you go to places and, like, you know, every Starbucks
same thing.
Looks
yeah.
the same, no matter where it is. So Rosewood hotels all look very much like the environment that they're in, and they're programmed differently. And so what they've done is they've created this program that has selected, I guess, individuals. I see myself as a collective individual, but as they select individuals who they think has contributed to the kind of cultural development of this sense of place, right? Mm-hmm. And because we have partnerships with Don Davies, and we have all this artwork there, we have this weekly tours, and we're doing all these things with them. So this designation was, I guess, granted to me, but I really kind of feel like it's to the department. I'm just like the head of the department, but it's really, I think, to the work that the department has done to the property. And so as a result of that, they're partnering with us. So everything as it relates to our own programming. We have the Inspired by collaboration with that Christina's already mentioned with Ryan Dean, with all these provocative topics, right? Mm-hmm. The creative ego and failure and cryptocurrency and like where the creative industry intersects with the hospitality world, like all of these really interesting things. And so we're going to be hosting all of these talks at Rosewood.
Yeah.
We also have our curatorial Black Glove services. We're going to have a series of open house events there. The debut of this Placemaker video, there's a mini film that's made about it that will debut in the current, and then they're also thinking about doing a debut of it when we go to New York for Volta. So at their, because they run the Carlisle Hotel in New York City. So there's all these different kind of connections. So we are very happy to build on that. And our the data suggests that Rosewood guests are the guests that are most interested in what the current is bringing to the property. Like most of our people, most of our business is Rosewood business.
You know what's interesting about Bahamar and the sort of the different range you're talking about is you tend to think of those places as tourist destinations. You know, like people go there, you don't, but it's actually they're huge resources for Bahamian artists. I mean, you're talking about ways to get your work seen, ways to learn about how to become a successful artist, business person, and how to reach an audience, which are all key things to actually be successful as an artist, right? It's more than just getting your work into a gallery. That's just like a piece of the piece of the work.
Yeah. Like being selected on the team is only just being on the team. Then you have to like perform well on the team, right? So it's like all of these different layers of things. So we're very excited to kind of build on that. And it's for 2022, but the idea is that we kind of build strength on strength. We program stuff there. We have NASA Music Society concerts there. We do a whole lot of different things there. They are really pushing it. And as it relates to the, you know, different conversation, the NE10, the Mercy exhibition, there's also, they are fully aware of that. So they know about NAGB because we've been telling them that, listen, we have this connection and we're working. And they're like, oh, can we, how can we connect that? Because they want, that's all a sense of place to them, right? So they want these interesting places for people to be aware of when they come to their brand. Like they're interested in a much more kind of forward, sophisticated traveler that is like more cultures in the front of their priorities.
Interesting. You know, before you go back to Keishel and talk a little more about your work, because every time that you speak, I think of another question to ask you. Talk a little bit about how, who makes the decisions about purchasing art in these hotels, the corporations, banks? Who's making those decisions? You know, how does that happen? Because that's kind of a mystery to some people how that might take place.
I don't know. I mean, I could start, and then Keish, you guys could jump in. I think it's for Bahamar, it's essentially, I guess, Graham and myself, right? So we pretty much decide on, like, I will make proposals to him, right? And so we oftentimes will look, like we go to exhibitions, and we look at work. And so we go to exhibitions, look at work. Sometimes we receive proposals from people. A lot of the programming will unfold in a way that will maybe kind of create opportunities for us to think about works that could be interesting for the property, because we have a big collection of artwork.
Right.
So we have a big collection. We our art body kind of falls into three different categories. We have the works that we have this relationship with Dawn Davies, which we have several hundred works on display from her. Then we have the works that are in the Bahamar collection, and then we have the works that are consigned. And so there's that. And more recently, we've been starting to receive works from the CTF headquarters, like the CTF body, which is the mother company that owns the resort. They have $1 billion art collection. So they've been sending us works in their collection. So now we have a Jeff Koons, and we have two Thomas Hausagos, and we're about to get another Jeff Koons, and maybe a Damien Hirst, and And so all this stuff is has the wheels turning in my head, like, huh, how do we start to think about what these other works that are well within the rights of these people that own the resort to position, how then can we build the collection locally to respond to these things? Because, you know, we can do that. And that's one of the things I'm working with Graham on.
But you're playing a specific role. It's not just the fact that you're curator of the current zone. You're actually playing a role for Bahamar, which also is played at other places too.
Yes, that's the art direction side of it. If you right. to get technical, the current the associates in the at Bahamar, some of them are affiliated specifically with the current, and then mm-hmm. some of us are what they call art direction. So mm-hmm. it's like you're the current, but you're also other things, not just the brick and mortar.
Mm-hmm. And when you take your 11 strong to Volta or Art Basel, who is it you're trying to connect with at those places? What's on the other side of Art Basel, for example?
I mean, I think it's new audiences, right? It's new. Mm-hmm. It's new collectors. It's new. When this is not the first. We've been in a lot of fairs before, mm-hmm. And sometimes when we were in Scope 2 years ago or 3 years ago before the pandemic. A lot of people came up to the gallery and was like, oh, this gallery is at Bahamar. I've been to Bahamar. Like, I was there. Oh, I remember the gallery from there. So it's new audiences. And I also think that the demographic is one that's not – it's not inconsistent with the demographic of people that we want to come to the resort anyway, mm-hmm. right? So one of the things that I would like to see happen is this paradigm shift where we have a massive convention center. Wouldn't it be great to have a satellite of Art Basel take place –
In the convention center,
because that's where those things take place, right? Mm-hmm. Could it be like a regional contemporary art fair that happens in the Bahamas? Because infrastructurally, lots of reasons why the Bahamas is perfectly suited to do that, where they're the closest logistically to mm-hmm. North America, that things can come over. We have the infrastructure already. We have the brand recognition. You have the connections with these things. I mean, to me, the way that I would like to see it is for us to start what we call putting heads in beds, right, for the creative industry. Mm, because there could right. be Emily Carr wants to do – this is your school. Emily Carr wants to do a conference on the latest printmaking techniques, and they have 100 faculty members from around North America, and they're going to come to Bahamar right. and have the conference in the convention center and stay in the hotel for a week. And that just gets bigger. You can just – that's just one simple, small P. Yeah. A lot of potential there. So that's really what I'm trying to focus on, you know, mm-hmm. in the long run.
Yeah. Wow, sounds great. So, Keishel, we're going to come back to you because I have this burning question. We talked about, male, female subjects and mm-hmm. so on. We delved a little bit into the female subject. But on the male subjects, for example, the two or three drawings you had done on the brown paper material, craft paper, how did you go about actually selecting those men, and why are you selecting those men? So talk a little bit about why you're doing that work.
Mm-hmm. So I actually save a catalog of images, and I save them until I have the idea. So I have a folder of imagery of like black men from – I've been saving them since I was in College of Bahamas, now university. Like, and I just kind of like save them up until the idea comes to me. So if I know I want to do a series about like younger boys or something about older men, I tend to just save the images because I know in the future, like I see an image, I don't know what I'm going to do with it yet, but I'm like, this is a good one. I'm just going to save it. And then when the idea comes, then I know to go back to it. So that's kind of like how I kind of getting from images, I source them. If I have something that I want to do very specifically, because sometimes I have a very specific idea, I have to stage it. And sometimes mm-hmm. if I don't have a figure to use, I would use myself and then just transpose. Because I've done it before. Like sometimes if I have like a facial feature, like I already have a guy, but it's not in the correct pose, I would just have to pose myself and then just kind of retroactive fit it in later.
Well, when you say save images, you mean saving images, photographs?
Yeah, like photographs. Sometimes I have sketches. Sometimes I take candid pictures of people.
Okay. So these are all your own photographs that you...
Not all of them. I can't say they're all sourced from me. The internet is a great place. Okay. But if it's something that I specifically want to do, I will specifically stage it with a friend or ask. Like I have seen pictures of people on Facebook that they have either taken with their friends, and I ask, hey, can I use this? And sometimes they say yes, and sometimes they say, girl, no. But I try to use as much photography as possible, because my work is very sort of like sourced directly from a photo, mm-hmm. just so I can get it as realistic as possible.
The detail, right? Mm-hmm. But why? Why are you choosing these men?
You mean why do I choose men specifically, or why do I choose like this particular person?
Actually, both are good. But yeah, first of all, I think why the subject matter. What is it that interests you in the subject matter as an art subject?
Mm-hmm. For me, as I said before, I grew up with men in my life. Right, I grew up with two brothers. I grew up, you know, a heavy tomboy. I grew up with boys surrounding me. I used to go to work with my dad when he was used to work at the Nassau Beach Hotel, which is now Bahama. And my dad used to leave me with, like, housemen, and I used to be in the laundry room helping them fold clothes, and I was just surrounded by men all the time, and I always felt very safe, very protected. And I feel like, because I was always talking, because I'm a very talkative, I was a very talkative child, I just felt something about them that I realized was just not being seen by everybody else, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So even now I have very close male friendships, and I feel as though when I talk to like my other female friends, or even when I talk to my other male friends, I just see the disparity there. And for me, I have a lot of questions as a woman when I'm asking a guy, like, you know, certain things, and they have a certain way of either responding, or they might not speak to you, but they might tell all of their personal business to their female friend. And I just find it interesting that guys tend to be more vulnerable when they're speaking, you know, to a woman. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that a lot of these things that guys are either afraid to talk about or they're hesitant to talk about. Because I'm gaining a lot of that knowledge, I'm able to sort of kind of put it back out there. And that's why I have a lot of people, when they see my work, sometimes they don't even know that it's a woman making the work. Like, I've had guys who tell me, like, I find it amazing that you're able to sort of portray this feeling in the work about, you know, malehood and you're a woman. And I mm-hmm. and I take it as a compliment, because I'm not trying to speak on behalf of men. Mm-hmm. So I just want to kind of, like, because I always clear that up, because I'm not trying to speak on behalf of men. I'm trying to speak
about them.
About them. Mm-hmm. Present a different narrative. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and do any of the subjects, do you draw live? Do they pose for you, or are they all done more from photographs?
Just curious. More so from photographs. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I noticed, too, they just seem to be empathetic and sympathetic. They aren't, the male images there are not necessarily assertive. They're almost mm-hmm. more, they're very quiet, and mm-hmm. they're sort of, they're posed in a very, in a repose, mm-hmm. Restful way.
Yeah. I'm very aware of how men are portrayed, specifically black men, in the media and in photography or paintings of the past, and I'm very careful about how I re-represent them. I try not to have, like, I'm very specific in terms of, like, having, like, men that are nude, because I don't want to kind of continue that kind of, like, stereotype of, like, sexualizing black men. I'm very aware of, like, the stereotypes of men and how they sort of carry themselves. So I'm always very aware of if the subject looks too stern, if it looks too hard, is he giving off, like, an uncomfortable vibe? Like, because I want people to appreciate the work. I don't want people to throw their stereotypes back into the work and say, well, I don't like this because it reminds me of this kind of guy. So I'm trying to I fix those things in the work itself, just so that people can see a different side rather than seeing, like, what the media says that should be there.
So as you went through your educational process, mm-hmm. and you were developing your craft, can you tell us a little bit about your transition from UB, you know, and, you know, to, you know, school in the States, mm-hmm. and then your, you know, transition to being a professional artist?
Mm-hmm. To be honest, the art program at UB at the time was very, very strict. So we had assignments where we had to complete in a week that were kind of like very, very difficult assignments that would take 2 to 3 weeks to complete. So when I transitioned to Emily Carr, it was smooth sailing, dog. Like, I can't even lie. Like, they would give us, like, oh, you have 3 weeks to do this. Easy. Like, literally was easy. So the transition of actually completing the work was much simpler. So for people who underestimate COB and think that, you know, it's a easy thing to go through, it's not. Like, the program is very rigorous, and I'm very thankful that it was. Shout out to Subi Dubs. but I like that in Emily Carr, the academic side is what kicked my hip. Like, really putting in the thought and the concepts into the work. And that's kind of like how I really start to think about, okay, you're putting these images together, these subject matters, these colors. what does that mean for me? What does that mean to this person? What does it mean to this person who doesn't live in the Caribbean? What does it mean to this person who lives in Hong Kong or Taiwan? What does it mean for different people to see the work, and how is that going to be portrayed? So I like the fact that I was able to understand all the different elements of the work itself, and how am I supposed to translate exactly how I'm trying to speak into the work, and how is somebody who is not from the Caribbean is going to understand that.
You know, as an educator, I tell you, you just described perfectly the difference between an associate degree and a BFA. Because the associate degree, those first 2 years that you be your, and you talk about the rigor of the program, mm-hmm. the technique, mm-hmm. and so you're really learning how to build visually.
Yeah.
And then those third and fourth years, mm-hmm. you're actually learning to communicate, right? Yeah. You're now expressing ideas and concepts through the skills you learned the first 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But even like my classmates, they were struggling. They mm-hmm. were struggling, like, because the art community is so small here, there were so many people who were able to be in exhibitions before they even graduated. Mm-hmm. Versus, like, when you're in the U.S., it's a little bit kind of harder. The opportunity is a little bit difficult for them. So all of us already had that opportunity to say, you know, I know how to write an artist statement. I know how to curate my work. I know how to install it. Nobody had that experience at the time. So
I think we're going to have to pick this up on another show, because this is a lot. This is very enlightening, mm-hmm. and I think maybe we should focus on artist development, yeah. and that process. You know, any last words before we wrap up,
Christina?
Come see 11 Strong at The Current at Bahamar, guys. It's here until when?
Up until March 25th.
Amazing, amazing. So as we conclude another enjoyable episode of Blank Canvas, we encourage you to visit the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. Our art park is open, guys, and it's free for Bahamians and local residents. So just because we're preparing for Kendra Farb's show, The Whimsical Collector, that's opening on Thursday, March 24th at 3 p.m., I'll say it again, Thursday, March 24th at 3 p.m., it's still free. It's a great mental health space. We also do rentals. We have a lot of mental health considerations. We have beautiful sculptures in our art park. So visit us today. Thanks to Alive for their free Wi-Fi that you can take advantage of. We also have a fabulous library. So you can check out our website, nagb.org.bs. We are open Tuesday to Sunday, and our hours are 10 to 5 on Tuesday to Saturday, 12 to 5 on Sunday, closed Monday on holidays. So if you missed a part of this show and you would like to share it with your friends, you can also tune in to Guardian Talk Radio or on our website, nagb.org.bs. See you next week at 6:30 p.m. on Guardian Talk Radio 96.9 FM. Thank you very much. Have a great evening.